Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. Sovereign God, we give you thanks. Omnipotent God, omniscient God, we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord God, for your many blessings. And we thank you, Lord God, for being our God. You're the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so we thank you. And today, Lord God, I bring the nation before you, the United States of America.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God, have mercy. In the midst of disagreement and conflict and division, you're still God. God, touch the hearts of you, of humanity. Touch our hearts, Lord God. And let there be peace, Lord God. So that we can be reminded that we are one nation under God. Have mercy, Lord God. I pray for your covering over every citizen, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Pray for your covering over every person here in this church and everywhere, Lord God. Have mercy. And then take hold of me, the preacher, God, your servant, and put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so we give God thanks for yet another day. So my sermon title today is titled, Don't Be, I don't remember what I called it, but Don't Be Uninformed. Don't be uninformed. And that came directly out of the scriptures, out of the Thessalonian scripture. Don't be uninformed. We Christian believers cannot, we should not live uninformed about our spiritual journey and what will happen and what God is expecting of us. I'll begin with this reflection. Coach Dungy, glad his son accepted Christ. Tony Dungy, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, lost his 18-year-old son to suicide near the end of the Colts' 2005 season. At the funeral service at Idlewood Baptist Central on December 27, 2005, Dungy offered a heartbreaking appeal to fathers. He says, God can provide joy in the midst of sad occasion. And the challenge is to find that joy. I urge you not to take your relations for granted. Parents, hug your kids every chance you get. Tell them you love them each chance you get. You don't know when it's going to be the last. And Tony Dungy last saw his son at Thanksgiving in Indianapolis. James Dungy was in a rush to get to the airport, and his father did not have a chance to hug him. In a brief interview with the media after the funeral, Coach Dungy said, James was a good young man with a compassionate heart. We were glad to have him for 18 years. We're also glad that he accepted Christ as his Savior, so that God has him now for the rest of eternity. What a powerful testimony that this young man was informed. He had accepted Jesus Christ, and this father found hope in that. Something that I don't want to experience, and I don't want any of you to experience losing a child. But these things happen. And our relationships in our world and in our nation, we need to begin to try to repair. Because tomorrow is promised to no one. Some of us have been angry with folks since January. Some of us have been angry with folks for 4 years. But now we need to begin to repair. Relationships. When you hear families and friends, a colleague of mine told me yesterday that her daughter was so angry she wrote some things to her that was horrible last week. Her young daughter, 18 years old. And how broken she was, and we prayed together for her. I said, let us pray for her, because she's still yours. We have to remember that tomorrow is promised to none of us. And we should work hard at repairing relationships. One writer says, whenever we speak of the end times, our hearts often quicken, partly out of joy, yet also out of fear. To speak of the end times is to speak of somewhat uncertain times. No one knows about the day, that day or hour, Christ says, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son. But the uncertainty of calendars and dates isn't what troubles us most. It is the notion of the final judgment. So perhaps these words from author Pastor Frederick Buckner can offer us a bit of comfort. Words that both acknowledge the reality of the coming judgment and the grace-filled love of the judge, who will be Jesus Christ. The New Testament proclaims that of some unforeseeable time in the future, God will ring down the final curtain on history. And there will come a day on which all our days and all of our judgments upon us and all our judgments upon each other will themselves be judged. The judge will be Christ. In other words, the one who judges us most finally will be the one who loves us most fully. Let's remember that. The one who will judge us at the end is the one who loved us so much that he would give his life for us. Yes, my sermon title says, don't be uninformed. The Thessalonian text says, but we do not want you to be uninformed. That's what Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. Brothers and sisters, about who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. He wanted the church to know that those who believe in Christ should not grieve the way others grieve who do not have any hope. And he wants them to be informed about that. For he says, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. Those who die believing in him. As I have referenced here several times that we've been studying Revelation. See, one of my Revelation students, a couple of them are here. And we have read it, how bad the judgment will be when Christ returns. But here's the good news. We who believe in Christ, we don't have to be that concerned. As Helen reminded me yesterday, because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have the mark of Christ upon us. So Paul wanted the church to know because they expected Christ to return at any time, friends. And so they were waiting. And we too must wait. We too are waiting. And this could happen any time. Do you know that Christ could return right now? Do you know if you see me standing here and I disappear and I really didn't walk down the steps and you see me, that I would be caught up to meet with the Lord? Do you know that that's possible? Because that's what the scripture says. Husband and wife will be together. So Paul wanted the church not to be uninformed. Because when you're uninformed, what do? You talk nonsense. And you have a lot of fear. Right? And a lot of angst because you're uninformed. We who are Christians must be informed about the Word of God. That God is unchanging. I said to someone, when we get our side wins, we say it's from God. When the next side wins, we say it's not from God. Right? And when the next side wins, we say that's not God. So I come to tell folks that God is not partial. God is not partial. Scripture says, for God so loved the world. And I'm looking in the Bible, if God says, for I only love some of you, I only love 50% of you, the other 50% I don't love. God loves all of us. And God is working it out for good according to his will, whether we understand it or not, just as how he worked out salvation according to his will. Thanks be to God for that. I remember 4 years ago saying to someone, God's got it. Whether you like it or not, God has spoken. I'm saying to other people 4 years later, God has spoken. Whether you like it or not, God is not asking me for my opinion. God is saying we should what? Trust him. Trust him no matter what, friends. Trust God. So we need to continue to be informed. From a spiritual standpoint, I'm talking about today. From a spiritual Christian standpoint, what does God desires of you and me is to do good and to do justice, Christian believer. So here now we have these young ladies, the bridesmaids, so to speak. There's a little song in Jamaica we used to sing. It says, I want a little more oil in my lamp. A little more oil in my lamp, I'm praying. A little bit more oil in my lamp, Lord Jesus, make it so. So here these bridesmaids, there are 10 of them. And they know the bridegroom is coming. It's a messianic, eschatological scripture. Eschatological mean end time scripture. The end, right? End time. And so this scripture is telling us that it's about the return of Christ. And they should have oil in their lamps. That means they should be what? Be ready. So God is leaving these scriptures to us that we can be ready and not be uninformed. They need to be ready. And so, because they don't know when the bridegroom is coming. So yes, they got oil in their lamp, but some of them didn't get enough. And a bridegroom was late. Because you can't tell the bridegroom when to come. The bridegroom will come when the bridegroom chooses, right? So the bridegroom was late. They fell asleep, no problem, they were tired. But when they woke up, what happened? 5 of them had what? No oil. No oil. Guess what that means? 5 of them were not ready. Because when you're ready, you'll have the oil. And what did the bridesmaid, 5 of them were not ready. What did the bridegroom say to them? How many of us find that scripture a little bit hardy? When they came to the door knocking and begging, he says, you can't enter. I don't know you. What does the scripture say here? It's on the front of the bulletin. Open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. I do not know you. We don't want the Lord to say he doesn't know us. But we don't have to do that. Because he has left the information for us to follow, friends. Amen? He has left this holy word. This is this holy word. Not what people say. Not what we hear on TV and read on Facebook and all of that. Because human beings, we color everything to our objective. Right? It's all subjective to what I feel and what the next person feels. But the most objective word that we have as Christian is called the Holy Bible. It is objective. It is for the good and the bad. It is for black and white. It is for blue and red. It's for everybody. The most objective word we have. And if it doesn't hold up in it, then it's not of God. And we could try to colorize it to be whatever we want it to be, but it still is this word. So we don't have to be uninformed. We are Christian believers. We are held to a higher standard, friends. So here they are. They have their warning, and yet they were not ready. So here's how we can get ready. We need to get ready, don't we? We need to keep being ready. The first point I want to, how do we get ready? Number one, live in the light of Christ's first coming. Friends, if you and I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that was his first coming, the resurrection, then we must believe that he's going to come again. And we must live in the light of his first resurrection. We as Christian believers first must live in the light of his first resurrection. How do we do that? We accept him as our Lord and Savior. And we let the light of Christ shine to us. Number two, we must be discerning. We must have spiritual discernment. We can't believe everything we hear. about God and about the Word. Again, I go back to the Word of God. Friends, this is where it is. Right? Can't believe everything where Scripture tells us. Watch out that no one deceives you. Watch out that no one deceives you. False prophets will arise and will perform signs and wonders to lead us astray. If possible, the elect. We see that in several verses in the text. Paul warned, "Now concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, don't let anyone deceive you in any way." We cannot let people deceive us, Christian believers, because we've got what? The Holy Book. The Holy Word. The Lord is speaking. Number three, we have to accept uncertainties, because we're not going to know everything. We want to know everything. You know, we are not the posters on TV that they think they know everything. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon them and have mercy upon us. We have to accept uncertainties. Now he says, "Now concerning the day or the hour, no one knows neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." No one knows when God is going to return. So we have got to accept that uncertainty and be ready. Ready every day. Amen? We've got to be like ever-ready batteries. Full with the Holy Spirit. And then number four, don't lose hope. Friends, Jesus has overcome the world. Don't lose hope. Paul reminded Titus that Jesus' first coming brought salvation. And it instructs us how to live sensibly, righteous and godly lives in the present age. It is our blessed hope. Let me tell you something that is wonderful. Revelation is a hard book, really, when you're digging it. And when we have been studying it, and we see some things that are going to be happening. And I hear a couple of folks on, you know, we're on Zoom. It's about 12 of us. And people says, "Oh, dear." And I says, "But remember, we have accepted Jesus Christ." Right? Don't lose hope. Right? We've got the mark of Christ on us. There will be the mark of the enemy and there will be the mark of Christ. Every time we read something that is so fearful and painful, we remember Christ. So friends, don't lose hope today. Don't lose hope. Trust in God. No matter what, no matter how you feel, no matter what your political ideology was, don't lose hope. God is still God. When we went to bed on November 2nd, he was God. And now today, he's still God. Hallelujah. And he loves all of us. He may not love what we all do. He doesn't love what we do. The consequences we do, we pay for the consequences of what we do. But he was God last week, and he's God this week, and he's God going to be God next week. You know, if I'm going home to meet him, you could say, Pastor said that God will still be God tomorrow. Amen? And the God who has taken care of you all this time, he's going to keep taking care of you. And God won't care who you voted for. He's whispered that to me. He says, "Marjorie, I don't care who you vote for, I still love you." Just kidding, friends. God doesn't care. God loves you because we are what? We are people of God and we are seeking to do good in the world. God doesn't dislike me or love me because of who I vote for. God loves me because I'm a good human being. I seek to be a good human being. I seek to be kind to my neighbors. I seek to love my neighbors. I strive to do that. I strive to show love. I strive to serve God. All of you, God loves us this morning. So let's have hope. And then my fifth point, encourage one another. Could you encourage one another? Could you just turn to your person next to you and say, "God loves you"? God loves you, Annie. God loves you, Nancy. God really loves you. Don't matter, God loves you so much, friends. Let's encourage each other that we are going to go through this together. For on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. It has proven to us that all of the ground is sinking sand. Oh, make sure that your anchor holds. And when your anchor holds, it grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, friends. He is the one. This rock is Jesus. He's the only one. Be very sure this morning. Be very sure, no matter what side you come down on. Be very sure that your anchor holds and that it grips the solid rock. Hallelujah. Encourage one another. And number six, live as if today was the day. Live as if Christ could return today. Live as if he could return this minute. And number seven and final point, keep on doing the work Jesus left for us to do. Believers, keep on doing the work Jesus has left for you and me to do. Amen. Keep on doing it. And then we can sing like this little song says, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John. Then we'll be ready. Then we'll be ready, friends, when we trust God and we hold on to his unchanging hands. Amen. God bless you, friends, and let's give God a praise offering today for his love and his faithfulness to us. Amen.